B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, here we go, Mast. Is Jerry Jones back there by chance?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Let's get these
on the
hoes ready. I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paula.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
We have a girl named Paula.
Gotta get out. Hit me some of them rays.
She's on the couch.
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today.
She hangs out in Revere Beach.
It's a sunshine day.
Want to come on the old cat wagon there, Paul Perilla?
With you, Jerry?
Come on, boy.
Can I come with Jerry?
All night long.
You ever see the Jerry bus, Jim?
No. I mean, I heard about it, that whole thing.
I have.
I have.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like you read about. It is. It's a freaking van that you and your fellas rent out on the night of your bachelor party.
This is a nightclub on wheels,
like
basically.
Little coach bus,
yes,
kind of thing?
Nightclub on wheels, Jim.
It is.
Well,
I mean, it's a big one, but that was the scene. I saw it outside of the hotel in Houston, a Four Seasons hotel in Houston, and it pulls up, you know, just like you would picture. Like, just like the cliche. I think it had the big star on it. Like, it didn't even hide what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And out pours, like, 17 dudes. You know, that just came from their steak dinner or the strip club or whatever.
It's sausage, like, fest.
Like, you could not be, like, this thing could not be more of a cliche. But that's what it is. I guess there's a stripper pole in the middle of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or there was?
Yeah, that was the word. Yeah.
That was put in for Odessa. Yeah.
So I guess that thing's no joke.
You think it'll be in town this week?
Oh, interesting. Right, well,
oh, I hope so.
Of course you do, Maz. Keep an eye out for it. Paul Perillo joins us in studio. Mr. Sunshine is sponsored by Devlin Solar. Get it? Devlin Solar helps homeowners utilize the sun to offset their energy bills and provide backup power during a blackout. Visit DevlinSolar.com to get started today. Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. How you doing, Pablo?
Doing great.
Okay, what's your temperature on your football team? How do you feel about them? I think, to this point, this is not to predict the future. I just feel like always having to say that. But to this point, I think they stink.
Yeah, it's hard to argue through 5 weeks that they've played good football, right? They haven't. They haven't consistently done the things that it takes to win games. I thought Sunday's game, about halfway through the fourth quarter, I looked, you know, I was with Hardy and Mike Dussault, and this is just two bad teams playing.
Oh, that's exactly what that was.
That's what I looked at, and I think the one team had a far superior coach, and they did a couple things right down the stretch. They executed, and they won. And I give them a lot of credit for winning, because I don't think they're all that good, and I don't think they played all that well, but they had to find a way to win that game. If they lost it at 1-4, I think it's sayonara. So they got back on the plane to come home, And they got what they had to have, a win. It wasn't an inspiring performance by any means, but they needed it and they got it.
Why aren't they better?
I just think there's so much inconsistency with, you know, we talked, I think I mentioned to you guys before I left, protect the ball, protect the passer, and cut out the penalties. They cut back on the penalties, and they did a reasonable job protecting the passer, especially considering the patchwork nature of the line. They can't stop putting the ball on the ground. Every game, they run the risk of turning it over two or three times. And they were lucky they didn't turn it over about five or six times in this game. And to Mac Jones's credit, he's the first guy who said it. There were a lot of people that are telling you how well he played. He wasn't one of them. And I give him a lot of credit for being self-aware and to know that he got away with a couple of really, really questionable passes. And this is five games. At what point do you say, well, they're making unpatriot-like mistakes, when you're just sort of thinking about the history and not talking about what's going on in front of you? Until they stop putting the ball in harm's way, I don't know how much better they can be.
To me, it's the most stunning development. Like a Bill Belichick team that doesn't protect the football, stunning. But, Paul, can it get better? Can they get better?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that when you fumble, you know, you have four running back fumbles. That's a lot, right, in five games?
Yes.
I'd like to think you should be able to hold on to the ball at some point. That should be correctable. I thought Ramondre Stevenson, his first game back, you know, getting carries, he looked like he was running as if he was saying, I'm not going to fumble on this play. And I think that holds you back a little bit. Like to see how that progresses, because I think he's going to be a part of the offense going forward. I'd like to see a little more explosiveness. They're not running the ball great. Yeah, it's correctable. I think you can be better at protecting the ball. But how good can they be offensively is the question I think we're all asking. And I think they can be a serviceable offense. I don't know how much better than that they can be.
All right, you want to talk football with Paulie Paul and the Red Sox, too? We'll still invite the Red Sox calls. Paul, a crafty lefty out of Boston University.
Big baseball guy.
Yeah, junk ball thrown lefty out of, you just like Tony Fossas.
Why does it have to be junk ball and
you're
crafty?
That's the truth.
Because you're a junk ball lefty. Yeah, so
you want to hear you threw filth.
Both of these guys wouldn't have touched me.
No, not because of your velocity.
No, all of a sudden he thinks he's Warren Spine.
I know.
Right? Really,
Randy Johnson over here.
Who am I getting critiqued by? It's not about what I think I am. It's what you guys think you are.
We got Shane McClanahan sitting next to us throwing a balloon.
617-779-0985. Do you think they cannot be better offensively because their quarterback is limited?
No, I think he's okay.
Do you think their quarterback is limited?
Limited.
Yes. Do you think the quarterback is limited?
Sounds like a loaded question.
It is loaded.
I think that he's physically, I don't think he's the most gifted guy in the league. I think he is.
Yes, he's limited.
You know, people keep asking me every week, you know, why don't they throw the ball downfield? Why don't they do? And I just keep saying, like, you know, these coaches are at practice every day. And you and I talked the other night during the Red Sox game. That was one of those for family and friends only on NBC Sports Boston. And I mentioned to you the red zone and how cautious they are. It drives me crazy, too. That series on the 16-yard line with three straight screen passes, even I don't really even care anymore. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, how do we throw three screen passes in a row on the 16-yard line? But, you know, Mike and I were talking with Holly the other night. This is what they did in practice every day in training camp. Red zone, red zone, red zone. And it was awful. The defense dominated just about every day in these drills. The only summation I can come up with is we don't see practice since the preseason ended. Maybe it's still awful in the red zone, and they're scared to death of it.
I think it
takes tight windows, strong arm throws. You got to fit it in. Maybe they just don't have enough faith right now that he's going to be able to fit the ball into some of those tight spots, and they're taking the points when they can get them. Maybe.
I'm glad you brought this up, because this is just what I was going to ask you. Was about, you know, the practice play in the red zone. Can you give us some, when you say it was bad in the preseason, give me more.
I thought the defense really, you know, at the time we were looking at it, it was like, you know, you got some vet, you know, J.C. Jackson had a really strong training camp. Jalen Mills was sort of up and down, but active. Jonathan Jones was really good in training camp. And you got some veteran safeties in McCourty and Adrian Phillips. Adrian Phillips might have been their best player in the summer. At practice every day, they were getting their hands on almost every pass. Like, every pass that was completed was a struggle. And maybe they're looking at that and saying, I don't want to struggle. I'll take the three. Let's see if we can run it in. Let's see if we can pop a screen. Let's see if we can do something safe. If we don't, Nick Folk is almost perfect. We'll make sure we come out of here with points. And I think that's hurt them offensively, because there have been times they're just not scoring enough points.
Can you afford to do that this week?
I don't think so. I think you're going to be needing some points this week. And I don't envision winning a game, you know, 24-21, 21-17. I think you're going to have to get closer to 30.
Because the Cowboys are legit.
Yeah. And I think if you look at it, like, think back to 2 weeks ago with Tampa Bay, I think they sort of flooded the field with a lot of defensive backs. They sat back. Kept everything in front, invited Tampa to run. I think they're going to do the same thing. The difference is Dallas can be productive running the ball, much more so than Tampa, because they want to run the ball too. Tampa did it because they had to. That was the right thing. And I think Brady didn't take the cheese. I think he ran Fournette enough, but they don't want to do that. Dallas doesn't care if they run Elliott and Pollard all day. They'll do that. And then they'll make big plays with the passing game too. So I don't envision Dallas getting shut down in this game. I don't think they're going to get 40 points either, but I think it'll be tough to win this game low scoring.
Go
ahead, Murray.
Are people overlooking their defense? They don't
produce
any. Yeah.
I don't think their defense is great.
Are you talking about the Patriots or Dallas?
Dallas. I think they can be thrown on. I think they're 31st in the league against the pass. Now, some of that might be a product of the scores when they're ahead big in the game and, you know, the other team is just throwing. I think Carolina, a couple of weeks ago, Carolina was getting blown out couple of, oh, by the way, touchdowns make those numbers look better. But what was Greg's thoughts on that Dallas' defense?
He wasn't that high on him either. But I know they've had a pretty decent pass rush in the last couple of weeks, and they got that stud corner.
Yeah, they've taken the ball away. They have 10 picks. So it's not just Trayvon Diggs. They've been able to take the ball away. And again, you've given it away. So that might not be a good combination. I think this will be a tough test. I don't think it's an unwinnable game or anything like that. And I'll be honest, I kind of thought the Tampa game was heading in. I don't look at Dallas to me is still that team that's immature.
The coach is a moron.
And until they prove that they can come in and win when they're supposed to win all the time, I'm going to think that they're overlooking this game.
Yeah, and I would say that there's your opening, because Dallas is still Dallas until they prove otherwise, and McCarthy's still McCarthy until he proves otherwise. Maz has got a blazing question for you. Stand by for that. We'll get to it right after these words.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
Just overall, very impressive level of talent. And offensively, Coach McCarthy and Dan Quinn mentioned Fossil. They're very, very well coached. Do a really good job offensively with their schemes and put a lot of pressure on the defense. And, defensively, they, as I said, they pretty much do everything well. They're ranked at the top of the league in almost every category on offense and defense and it goes in kicking games. So not really a lot of weaknesses on this team, averaging 40 points a game in the last 3 weeks and won pretty decisively, beat the Chargers. They're obviously a good team there. That's our only loss, so it's a pretty pretty talented team. We know we're going to have to play our best game, and so that's what we're going to get ready to do.
Belichick on the Cowboys today, going over all their talent. Spent 4 minutes servicing the Cowboys today on the opening statement, and then spent the rest of the presser just completely blowing sunshine up their ass. But the opening there is the coaching that he mentioned, Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn.
You love Mike McCarthy.
Oh, I can't stand him. Can't stand him. And if it's close, watch it. Watch it. Is Dan Quinn going to dial up the right kind of plays? I wouldn't trust him. Is Mike McCarthy going to manage the clock? So if the pass can keep it close, I think that's their path, that the coaching can then take over, sort of like last week.
Absolutely. I agree. If the Patriots can find a way to do what they did against Tampa and be in the game in the second half, advantage home team, I think the crowd will be in it. And I think you're right. I think the Cowboys haven't really executed that stuff. I still think they're kind of a front running team, when things are going well, and we'll see, maybe this is different. Cause I will say this, Dak Prescott has been different so far. I thought before he got hurt that he was a good quarterback, nothing more, nothing less, one of those sort of second level. He's been a lot better than that. In that Thursday night game against Tampa, I was like, wow, this is really open. He made some throws in that game. You talk about throwing the ball into tight windows and making the right play. He was really, really good. And especially considering coming off that long layoff, he looks like he's a better guy, a better quarterback now than he was before he got hurt. And if that's true, we'll see it Sunday.
I think so too. So what I was going to ask you, Paul, is that Dallas obviously is high powered. They can score, which suggests that the Patriots have to score. One of the things Greg Bedard said when he was here the other day, and we'd love to get our contributors to snipe at one another.
Yeah.
Is that
I'm here for that.
You look at the 25 points they scored. Damian Harris fumbled going across the goal line. Jacoby Myers dropped a long pass. They could have very easily been in the 30. He thinks the offense is improving. Do you?
I don't. I really don't. I think the offense is okay.
Now call Greg an idiot.
Exactly. Greg, exactly the answer I wanted.
Do I have to call him an idiot?
No, go ahead.
Because I can do that. No, I'm not opposed to it. Here's the thing. I don't think the offense is bad. I don't think it's a high-powered team by any stretch. I think that we like to count the points that should have been had, and we don't take away any that they really didn't deserve. Like taking over in field goal range, going three and out and kicking a field goal after the 0-yard punt. We don't take those away. We don't take away points at, on a 3rd and 18 roughing the passer call that would have been a punt. No, they had an 84-yard drive that won the game, right? Because that's part of the game. Things happen on both sides. Yes, Damian Harris fumbled going in. That's 7 points that they didn't get. No question. But it's again, it's all part of the game. And here's the thing. They've been really bad in the red zone. They're 31st out of 32 teams in the red zone. You know what else they don't do really well? Get to the red zone. It's not like they get to the red zone more than everybody else.
Where are they in red zone attempts?
They're middle of the pack in red zone trips.
Yep.
They're average. And listen, he's played 5 games. I don't need to kill him to play 5 games. You asked me right off the top, are they limited by the quarterback? Yes, I think they are. I think he's a little limited. But that doesn't mean they're always going to be limited. And you would hope, if you're Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, that as the season progresses, there's some things that you'll be able to do in week 13 or 14 that you haven't been able to do so far. That's what you have to hope for.
All right, 617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Jack in the South End. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So just knowing that the Cowboys have averaged over 40 points or whatever over the last, what did Bill say, 3 or 4 weeks, and the Pats haven't eclipsed 25 once this season. I know they did it twice. I just don't see how we have any chance of stopping them, especially Zeke and Pollard, that two-headed monster, plus all the weapons. What do you guys think our realistic chances are? Because I'm hopeful, but I don't see much happening here.
Okay. Apparently, one of our bankroll boys, since we're talking this, Dan Lifshatz, loves the Patriots at +4.5. And I think what, and Maz, you put this in the email, I think one of his reasons is that the line to start the year was Patriots -1.
Right. He said the look in before the season even began was Pats at -1, and now that has moved almost a full touchdown.
So 5.5 points in the Cowboys direction. And I think, so what do they call it? The true look is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So that's the metric that he uses. I don't know if that applies or not, but if Dallas plays a clean game and plays their game the way they're capable of, you're kind of porked.
Yeah. Do you guys know, do we get Dan and Joe on Thursdays with Fred and Rich?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'll be curious to hear, because I want to have that explained to me. What that, like, to me, before the season starts, you have a preconceived notion of what the talent is going to be like. I just mentioned Dak Prescott. Who thought he was going to be throwing, 40 points up on the board every week before the season started? Conversely, I think some people have this, like, romantic thought that Cam Newton could still play. Right? I didn't, but some people did, and maybe people were looking at the Patriots offense with Cam Newton. Oh, you got some weapons now in Cam Newton's second year in the system. Maybe that's what that line was derived from. Dak coming off injury, Cam Newton in his second year in the system. Now, conversely, 5 weeks have gone by. The Patriots can't really score, and Dallas can't be stopped. So that's why the line has moved 5 points, if you ask me. So,
and it's moved for good reason, is what you're saying.
Right. Like, yeah, now I'd be curious, because I'm not a gambler. You know this, and you know this from our Herald days. I don't do that anymore because I got burned by it. So I don't really follow it. I don't really ingest all the numbers. I'd be curious to hear what Dan says, the reason why that's a true indicator as to why you would like, because I know he was like that with Tampa as well,
right,
for different reasons.
Okay, so he also said one other thing that I think is relevant to this conversation, and that is that he believes, and we've talked about this a lot, that it's a spot league. In other words, where you are in your schedule is a huge factor.
Definitely, I think this is true.
I think that's huge.
So he says that the Patriots coming off of Tampa were due for a letdown. It's an emotional game in Foxborough. It was a bad team. So they went down to Houston. They didn't have their best effort, let alone the fact the offensive line was decimated. But it was more about Tampa. Now they're going home after a bad game. He thinks you're going to get a better Patriots team.
Yeah, I think you're going to get a better Dallas team than you got last week. They played like crap. I watched a lot of that game against the Giants. They made all kinds of mistakes. They got stopped on an early fourth down, got an interception on a batted ball. They kind of stumbled around and really, I thought, sleptwalked through a good portion of the game, and then they put the foot on the gas in the second half and won going away against a bad team that ended up losing its quarterback. But I think they played lousy, based on what I saw against Carolina and what I saw against Tampa. And in the Chargers, I didn't think they played that well. I would say they're due for a bounce back, too.
Let me pop on our buddy John in Charlestown on something I was just about to ask Paulie myself. Go ahead, John.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry if you spoke about this earlier. I just rolled on. I can't blame the offense anymore. I just want you to objectively look at the defensive sideline and tell me, I mean, we're talking to Houston, so they're like a disaster anyway. But look at Lovie Smith and look at Mullet Boy. Look at Romeo Crennel upstairs and look at Matt Patricia. That's who you got upstairs. And then go up. There's only two coaches other than Belichick on this team that would get jobs elsewhere in the NFL. Ivan Fierce. And obviously Josh, because he's brilliant. Okay? Who else? We're not talking about the neglected offensive, defensive, all the little position coaches.
Well, let me tell you something, John. John,
yes, yes.
I think Gerard Mayo would definitely get a job.
I think Gerard Mayo was close to getting a head coaching job.
Gerard would. In fact, why isn't he? I agree with you.
This is my issue. This is why I wanted to ask. Like, Gerard Mayo feels like the next guy. He almost got the job in Philly. He's going to be a head coach at some point. He feels like he's trending, yet when I look at the broadcasts, they're featuring Bill's kid, and I cannot think that that's a coincidence, that there's some sort of directive there coming from the team or Bill or et cetera, and never mind Patricia up in the booth doing who the hell knows what, and your defense blows.
I wish I had great answers for this. I don't. I still think Belichick, Bill Belichick.
So this is frustrating.
Is the defensive coach. He's the defensive coordinator. I think they put the game plans together and maybe have Steve be the one who calls the actual defense into the huddle. I don't know this for sure.
Again, but in the New Orleans game, and they put Bill down as the defensive play caller. Remember?
That's right. So
I do remember that.
So there's all sorts of monkey business going on here. There's something going on with the titles and play up this guy or downplay that guy, or what is he doing or what does they do? There's no title. Patricia's back. The kid's getting featured on TV. Gerard Mayo is almost a head coach. Why isn't he the guy? It's like, I feel there's just some sort of screwing around there in the true Bill Belichick fashion with jobs or titles, and now his kids involved, and it's like, who's what? Like, that whole thing, I feel, is bordering on dysfunctional.
Like, too many cooks.
Too many cooks, and what's Bill really doing there? You know, what's really the
motivation
there?
What's the agenda,
there?
Right?
What's the agenda there?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like I said, I wish I had more definitive answers for you, but it doesn't seem like it just doesn't seem like it's working as well as it should.
Okay, so let's pick that up on the other side, shall we? 617-779-0985. Update first from Big Jim Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. And you? Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's follow up on this with a call here. Kopi's in Nashua. Go ahead, Kopi.
Hey, yeah, this is a question more for Paul or anybody else who will probably know, but what qualifies Steven Belichick to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL when this kid has never played a down of football anywhere, at least that I know of, and the only thing I know of him from college and what he should be doing is rolling spleets down at the cannabis store.
So this isn't true that Greg Schiano will let him walk on in long snap at Rutgers, so that's his...
No, but... You know, if we're going to use, you have to play as a...
I don't.
You know, Bill Belichick was a center at Wesleyan.
Yeah.
I mean, is that like any kind of pro kind of playing experience?
No.
Anything close?
No. So, no, he was
and he's the greatest coach who's ever done it.
He was a positional coach. Steve Belichick was a positional coach. So
he worked his way. I mean, you could make an argument that he may not have gotten that opportunity without his dad. That's inarguable to me. But he did not just become the defensive coordinator. He worked his way up.
Yeah, look, and the league is littered with nepotism and kids on staffs and all of this everywhere. So it's hardly a Patriots thing. And if the kid's the coordinator, the kid's the coordinator. Like, okay, name him the coordinator, and let's just be done with it. And then we can judge him based on his results, and it is transparent. Instead, no one's named. It's two guys on the sidelines. Who's doing what? Then there's a broadcast where you mentioned, thank you for bringing it up, where for some effing reason, they put on the broadcast defensive play caller Bill Belichick. Did it say coordinator or play caller?
Play caller.
Play caller.
Defensive play caller. What's that all about? So it's like, what? We're wasting time, energy, airspace on what? We're trying to lift one guy over the next or hide who it is or what? And then there's Patricia and his pudgy figures in there somewhere. And it's like, what's going on? Why don't you name the defensive coordinator, give him the unit, and then let's just do that thing. And then we'll judge Steve Belichick based on the results. But I just don't like the screwing around with the thing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the issue would be, if there is an issue, would be among the players. Like, do they know which voice they're supposed to, you know, be listening to? And I don't know. I think that it seems to work. I think there is a cohesion there. I don't think it's an issue. But might there be some...
No, I don't know if it's working, because
if it's Mayo and Steve Belichick, you know, maybe they don't agree.
Paul,
they don't know who's in charge.
Two or three cases this year, maybe more that I haven't noticed, but two or three that I've noticed where they've had not enough players or too many players, or gave up a touchdown when they had 10 guys out there, or called a timeout with a minute left with the clock stop because you didn't have the personnel right,
yeah,
or too many men penalties. So
that was a huge issue last year as well. That the personnel on the field. That's coaching, no doubt, but they play so many guys. To me, it's a talent issue because they have so many different guys for so many different roles because they don't have the guys that they just feel good about just being out there. Well, we can roll with these guys because they can play in all sorts of areas.
Hey, if it feels
I think they have a lot of different issues.
If it feels like I'm yelling at you, I am. I hold you responsible for this.
I know. High-ranking member.
It's your fault, Paul.
Sean in the car. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I just want to tell you guys, the Cowboys aren't beatable, man. If you watch that game, Paul, last week, you've seen them.
Sean, hold it like a pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Sean. Okay, yeah, he's saying they are beatable if you watched them last week, which is what Paul was saying.
Yeah, I thought they were awful for a large portion of that game. And like I said, Dallas is a team, to me, the modern Dallas. Now, we're talking the Dallas Cowboys have not won anything. Right, which is, you know, since the Patriots have been dominant.
Right, last 30 years.
Have always been at their worst when they're expected to do the most. Right now, people are starting to say, this is one of the best teams in football. Look at this offense. It can't be stopped. Would you be stunned if they get stopped?
Of course not.
Stunned. No.
I'm not telling you I expect it, but I would not be stunned.
Because you know why? They're all out in the freaking cat wagon in the clubs, because this is what happens in Dallas. This is their M.O.,
4-1 through 5 weeks. Let's party.
All of a sudden, it's like, let's go. And they're living the high life, and the next thing you know, they're not paying attention to detail, and they throw up on themselves. That's the Dallas Cowboys that I know.
And yeah, they have your coach, too, Felgie. Off on top of that.
Perfect guy for it.
Well, I was just going to say, and that's why. Ultimately, it's because of the coach. The guy that worries me.
No, I think it's ultimately, I'm sorry, Maz, because
the owner?
The owner and the culture.
Yeah. I mean, so it does start there. The guy that worries me is Prescott. I think he's been one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the league.
And he's locked in. I think he is a really good leader. I think he is this might be different with him. I think Tony makes a good point. He might be able to break them out of that mold because I think he does have the priorities. I don't think he's thinking about Jerry's bus.
I think he's
thinking about the next game.
I mean, he's gone to another level this year.
Yeah, watching him week one against Tampa, I was like, who the hell is this guy? I was waiting for him to have like a bad moment, and it never happened.
Jim, I really didn't think much of the Cowboys game on the schedule. That night I said, ooh, that's another game that's going to be tough to win.
Yeah.
You shouldn't overreact to something, but he was so impressive in that game that I immediately said, that game has become a lot more difficult tomorrow than it was yesterday.
Well, the whole freaking schedule's turned on its ear for me in my head, where, you know, I'm like, well, 7-2. But my big thing in August was, what happens if you're 7-2? How do you replace Cam Newton? It's like, now you've replaced Cam Newton and you blow. And now these games that, you know, we didn't give Dallas much of a thought preseason. Now it's like, I think they'll be lucky to win the game.
Yeah, I thought, like, going into the season, I thought Dallas, Dallas is good. I mean, they have talent. They can beat you, but they won't. Then I watched Dak Prescott play against the Buccaneers on opening night and put that team in position to pull off that kind of an upset, really with very little support from the defense. And I was like, oh, Mm. Okay.
But I will say this. You can pull this out. I think it is a game that can sort of set you on your way.
Oh, definitely, because then you're playing the Jets at home. You'd be 4-3.
They need it.
And at some point, they have you mocked me last week when I said they're not going to win all those games, and you took me literally like every – no, I mean there's all of these games that are going to be tough to win. They're going to win some of them. They're going to find a way to win. You get this one, and that's that sort of makes up for the Miami and New Orleans. Like, you got to find a way to steal some of those back. And then once you do that, Tony's right. Once you get 4-3, once you get on the other side of the ledger, now we can start playing. Now we can start looking at improving in things that we need to do to get to the playoffs.
I wouldn't bet this game with your money.
Okay, long commercial-free segment. No one can have it anyway. Long commercial-free segment is next. We will continue with your calls at 617-779-0985. Reset some of our Red Sox thoughts of the day as well off the top of the hour. All coming up next.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
This one is over, 13 seconds left. And the people are going to come out and shake hands with one another and say a prayer. And Dallas is 4-1 with a two-game lead in the NFC East. Put away the anointing oil. It's just a good start to the second quarter of the season.
That's the final call in Dallas last week. What did he say? What am I putting away?
The anointing oil.
This is something I think you can find on Jerry's cat wagon.
Right. Dallas is 4-1 with a two-game lead in the NFC East. Put away the anointing oil. It's just a good start to the second quarter of the season.
Put away all those oils and lotions.
See, but you know what? Like,
save them for Foxborough.
We're joking around, and I can listen to Jim do that all day. Believe me, I will.
Put away the anointing oil.
And I will be laughing by myself when I drive home. But That's it right there. That's the Cowboys announcer, and he knows it.
Put away the anointing oil.
He's watched them suck.
He knows. He knows what's coming. Is that Brad Sham? Is that his name?
I'm not familiar with.
I think they're legit.
Tony, if you're asking me by the eye test what I've seen so far, I agree.
Yeah, no.
They've played Tampa. They played the Chargers. They played the Panthers when they were 3-0. It's not like they haven't seen any other good teams. They look good. They look good. I test they're passing it. I can't get the Cowboys out of my head.
Tony, get yourself in a towel. Meet you in the other room with some anointing oil.
I'll tell you,
like what you're saying about my team.
What about the Johnny Walker flu?
That's right.
I'm starting to develop a whole different sort of perspective on you know, NFL teams and how they operate after the whole Brady Belichick thing. And I think the quarterback makes all the difference there. That guy he's playing great. He is playing great, great football. And he's managing the game well. He's careful with the football. He's an accurate passer.
And they love him.
Yeah.
They love him.
You know, in the past, you've asked me about Dak Prescott. And, he's good. He's not great. He's good. I'm starting to think he's great.
I'm with you, Tony.
Okay. Let's see, Sunday. I will say this, that this is the 17th game. This is what you can now.
All right, yeah.
And this, I think, is, you know, I've always wanted the 17 game. I like the way that they're doing it. In that they're making it a interconference game. What is it?
Yes, interconference.
Interconference game. So someone from the other conference. So this thing where you see Aaron Rodgers only once every 4 years, or only comes here once every 8 years, or you only get the Cowboys in Foxborough, once every 8 years, has a chance to. That's what that's going to address, and providing you're good, you know, which is no guarantee as we're coming to find out. But providing you're good. You should have more bankable, fun games on your schedule every year.
Absolutely.
And so, like, home run. I love it. And so this is why Brady said the other day, you know, who knows what the future – he was asked about his last game at Gillette. He said, well, who knows what the future holds? Because in 2 years, you have the NFC South hosting the NFC – I think it's hosting the NFC South. Or there's a chance that
you're going to host an NFC South team in 2 years.
Boom. There it is.
Whatever team that corresponds to your spot. Now – to your point, Mike, there's a little bit of fortune that involved the Patriots and Dallas finished in third,
right,
in the same year. So yes, it's in a, the way it came out, it's an intriguing matchup. Patriots Dallas, cool.
No, it's a fluke.
But it's two third place teams.
It could have been the Eagles or the football team. I mean, I understand, but so that's why I say if you're good, if you're winning your division or second, you know, the odds are you're going to get a decent matchup, and so that's a good, that's a win-win. And the players will live the 17th week. They'll be okay. A couple more quick calls here for Paul before we say goodbye.
He's so dismissive of the injuries.
Here's Guy in Boston. Hi, Guy.
Hey, Paul, get your head out of Bill Belichick's butt. You're talking about Dallas. Did you see what the quarterback for Houston did to them? Can you smell the roses, please? You're going on the other side of the ledger. They're never going to make the other side of the ledger. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you, Gus. Guy.
I love Guy.
He's the best.
I mean, but it's hard not to think that way. If Davis effing Mills is going to do what he did to you, you know, 300 yards, 141 quarterback rating, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, what is a guy who can actually play?
He played really well.
I agree.
And I thought he played really well, you know, not as well as this, but I thought he looked okay in that Carolina game on the Thursday night, too. I think everybody looked and saw the disaster at Buffalo in terrible weather. That stadium does things to people than when you're not used to playing in it. It's a weird place to play, and it was an awful weather game, and he was terrible. I think he threw for 87 yards and 4 picks. There was no way he was going to repeat that. Now, that doesn't mean excuse what he did. I mean, he lit him up.
I think that kid can play. I like him. I'm not telling you he's great, but I think he can play.
Would you rather have him than Mac Jones?
I was just going to say, Paul.
I thought I would just step
thank
in
you.
And play your role there without having to weigh in.
You saw the facilitation opening, and you charged right through it.
I asked that question on Twitter on Sunday. Which one would you rather have? I got 90% Mac Jones. I was in the 10%.
Yeah, shocker. Well, but it can't be in a vacuum. Like, at 15 overall, I like the Mac Jones pick. I think he can play. It's good. I'll take him, I guess. But if you say to me, I get 2 defensive players in the first and second round, and then Davis Mills?
Yeah.
I mean, so now the question do you want Mac Jones at 15 or Davis Mills at 112 or whatever?
Can I have Micah Parsons at 15 and take Davis Mills in the third round or something like that?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Paul, wasn't there rumored interest in him too?
Davis Mills? Yeah. They definitely liked him. Talking to a couple of people before the draft, there was I was asking some people about Kellen Mond, Davis, you know, these kind of secondary quarterbacks. That seemed to be the one. I got to be honest, I'm not going to be a fraud about it. You know, hindsight, I didn't love him. I didn't love him coming out. Didn't play that much at Stanford. He doesn't have a lot of experience. I think it was the 14th game that he started since
high school. I think it was.
You made him look like that.
Yeah. Now, he opened my eyes. I was impressed with him, but I don't know if that's what he is. I think he caught the Patriots on a really bad day.
I like him. I do. I like him. I love the Stanford kids, too.
You buying a jersey?
Maz already? Yeah.
The Stanford kids. What Davis Stanford Mills. Quarterback?
Elway. Like Andrew Luck.
Oh, wait. I mean, Elway. I mean,
Trent Edwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to back off on that because Trent Edwards had a promising start to his career, ruined by concussions.
Thank you,
Trevor in Boston.
I'm going to back off on that, Tony.
Trevor, thanks for joining us. Go ahead, please.
Hey, man. So I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on this. Where there are very brief moments where I think the team and especially the offense looks pretty solid. Again, very brief, but do you think that alludes to a timing issue, or do you think that there are just still pieces missing? And if so, what pieces?
Yeah, what's the talent level on offense to you?
I think they need to get better at receiver. I'd like to see some ability to make some chunk plays, but part of that is Mac Jones. I think, you know, he's played 5 games. We keep saying that. Well, at least I do because I'm trying to give myself an excuse. But I think he's going to need to get the ball downfield at some point. And I don't know if it's because they don't feel comfortable with him doing it. He doesn't feel comfortable doing it yet. Or if they just don't have receivers that are capable. But it's hard to do offense the way that they've tried to do it. It takes so long, and it takes almost perfection to put together those drives without stalling at some point, without getting a penalty or a sack. And they need some chunk plays. Can you think of a chunk play that they've had all year?
Oh, God.
I think a 30-yard pass, which was thrown by Jakobi Meyers, is the only one I can really even think of.
Damian Harris's first run, and then Trent Brown got hurt.
Yeah, 35-yard run in the first play. Is that still the longest play of the season?
It might be.
I mean, Meyers' drop is right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was also a broken play. I mean, it was like lost coverage. They had, you know, complete breakdown. It wasn't like, you know, we're setting him up with a double move, he's open, and we got him downfield. Or I'll even take, you know, a deep crossing route that a guy catches in stride and turns it up and a lot of yards after the catch.
Okay, Paul, give me 30 seconds. Patriots-Cowboys, how do you see this going down?
Again, I'm just the Prescott thing is really impressing me, and I don't see the Patriots being able to keep up. I think against Tampa, Tampa was complicit in the Patriots keeping up. And unless Dallas plays a similar kind of subpar game, I think they're going to have a hard time keeping Dallas under the, under 30.
Okay, well, that's not very sunshiny.
No.
I'll
hear about it later. After guy in Boston told me to stop smelling the roses, I think I'll hear about that more than me being up Belichick's backside.
By the way, that Damian Harris play is their longest play of the year.
Wow.
Week one.
First
they just,
snap.
They
yeah.
just don't get
yeah,
any.
First run of the year.
They just don't get any chunk plays. If they can get some of those in red zone will be huge. If maybe this is the week they go 3-for-3 in the red zone and all of a sudden you're in the game.
Thanks, Pablo, for coming in.
All right. I doubt it.
See you next week. Okay, we've got a reset on our Red Sox topics of the day. The Astros matchup. The cheating back and forth between the two teams. And is anyone going to call anyone out on it? Are you? Are you, New England fan? Because Lord knows, we don't cheat around here. Are you going to call the Astros cheaters when they come to town next weekend? And that whole thing, the history between the teams. And are the Red Sox back as a topic, an entity, and popularity? That whole thing. We'll reset all of that after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.